And tonight on Coast to Coast, we're going to talk about Inner Vegas, creating miracles, abundance, and health. And yes, you're going to say Vegas. Well, we'll explain that when we come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Dr. Joe Gallenberger is a clinical psychologist with more than 30 years experience as a therapist and superb interest in the universal principles of manifestation. Now, back in 1995, he began exploring psychokinesis, which is the ability to influence matter through non-physical means. That's what Uri Geller does when he bends spoons. Dr. Gallenberger offers a variety of programs designed to expand consciousness. He is a senior trainer at the Monroe Institute and created the highly successful MC Square program. And he developed also the Sync Creation, which is a home study course in manifestation. Joseph, welcome to the program. So delighted to have you on.
Hi. Good evening, George. How you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, this is kind of ironic, but years ago when I was a late teenager, I picked up the book that Robert Monroe had written about astral projection, and I could not put it down. He was not only eloquent in his writings, but it seems like he must have been a great guy, too. Did you meet him at all?
Yes, I did. I had the pleasure and honor of meeting Bob and spending some time with him in the first few years that I was a trainer at the Institute.
What got him into all this, Joseph?
Well, he was a fellow with lots of interests. One of them was having a lot of radio shows and things, and within that, he began to experiment with sound for sleep learning, and as he did that, taking people right to the edge of sleep and wakefulness, he found he began to have vibrations in his body that concerned him, but they stayed around and nothing bad happened. So he eventually got kind of bored with them, but they'd happen at night as he was going to sleep. And one night as he was having those and going to sleep, he was thinking of taking his glider plane the next day out on the beautiful thermals here in Virginia. And as he did, he all of a sudden found himself feeling a bump and opened his eyes and saw a fountain, and that confused him. And so he oriented and realized it was a chandelier on his ceiling, and he rolled back over and saw himself in bed. And that scared the heck out of him. He thought he had died. So that was his first out-of-body, and they kept happening. He got evaluated medically. Everything was fine, so he developed a real interest in exploring what you could do with out-of-body consciousness.
And how about you? How did you make this transition into being a trainer at the Institute?
Well, as a kid, I had a lot of out-of-body experience. And when I read Bob's books, much like you, I was thrilled to find somebody who knew something about that. And so as soon as I found out that there was an institute, I arranged to take their premier program, Gateway, and came up and had out-of-body experience and many more things that were very interesting in the meditative state. And I got hooked pretty quickly. I took another program very quickly called Guidelines and said to myself, this is getting expensive. I guess I got to be a trainer up here.
That's great. And do you find that the more you practice that, the more you get into that special mode, the more tuned in you get?
Yes, indeed. The hemisync process that they use to pattern brainwaves brings your brain into a synchronized state, left and right, more of a whole brain state. And even neurophysiologically, you can see a difference on EEG after somebody has done that and practiced it for a while. They begin to have more and more synchrony occurring naturally. And with that, it gets easier and easier to go into the meditative states and to maintain them.
Joe, let me ask you about your book, Inner Vegas, which we're going to digest quite a bit tonight. Mm-hmm. On the face of it, you look at it and go, well, what is this, a book on gambling? What is it? But it's way more than that. Tell me about it.
Well, I started with coming into through the meditative states at Monroe to the understanding that if you wanted to, you could project energy for healing. And that was really interesting to me, to see someone's headache go away with your intention to help them do that. But that's very messy from a psychological or scientific point of view. You don't know if they did it, you did it, the universe did it, what happened? And so as I helped Bob Monroe with a program called Lifespan 2000 that he developed, we taught people a lot of altered state consciousness and focusing energy. And we had a night where we did gaming as a practice for these commands we were learning, like to increase memory, to let go of emotion, etc. And I got in charge of a little dice game there. And I found myself going into that same state that I was in the healing state. My hands got really hot. My heart was wide open. I was feeling really good, grounded, but expanded. And found when that happened, I could roll what I wanted on the dice. And that was interesting scientifically because I could know exactly the odds on dice of throwing, say, 7 sevens in a row. And they were much greater than
huge, yeah,
odds that you would see in a scientific experiment that they consider there has been a real effect. So I went down to Princeton Laboratories and did many psychokinesis experiments there. And after that, it became unknown to me, and I wanted to practice. And the best place was Vegas because the dice are guaranteed to be neutral. And I could see if I was having an effect. And if I did, I could pay my office staff back home to keep my office.
So did you find in your research study that you could affect the outcome, or were you picking up, let's say, glimpses of the future? Maybe you were remote viewing the dice, for example.
Well, most of the experiments involved things which I would put under the term psychokinesis, or influencing physical matter reality with your psychic ability rather than remote viewing it. For example, the height of a fountain bubbles by random hydrodynamic law keeps changing column height. In the first experiment at Princeton, they had me keep the column height high for 15 minutes, then leave it alone for control for 15, and then make it low for 15. And I went ahead and did that and had statistics that were well over 1,000 to 1 by chance. That wouldn't really be a precognitive or remote viewing type of thing, but more of an influencing matter. The same with bending metal or plastic, growing seeds in your hand. They're a little different, but the interesting thing is, as your PK or psychokinesis skills go up, usually your remote viewing and intuition goes up as well. So in dice, you're actually using both, kind of looking at reality and seeing what would like to form. And so maybe your ego wants a 6, but as you think, it says 5, and then you put your intent to the 5 and get the 5, if that's another number you might like.
Why do some people lose, Joe, and other people win?
Oh, lots of reasons. Most people go to Vegas saying, oh, I'm going to Vegas and I can afford to lose $50 a day on vacation.
Right, whatever it is.
Whatever, zero, yeah. And so even though the statistics in Vegas might be pretty close to 50-50 on some of the games, on the planes back to the East Coast, you might not see
50%
of the people on the
plane. No. Well, you know, I always used to say, people go into a casino smiling, most of them come out frowning.
They can, that's for sure. The other thing they do is they try to bet a little and win a lot, and you should really be willing to invest a good deal to win a little, the exact opposite of what most people do.
Invest a lot to win a little?
Right. Say if you're willing to invest $100 to make 20, it's much more likely than you're willing to invest 20 to make 100.
So you take so you walk with your 120 then, basically.
If you just get out at a small profit and consider yourself fortunate.
Yeah, I see.
And most people, the type of energy we want to build for psychokinesis is wide open heart, grounded to the earth, in touch with spirit, feeling one with everything, feeling really good. Most people approach the game feeling greed, fear, those kind of things, and you'll get the exact opposite.
When you're playing dice, is it psychokinesis that you try to practice as opposed to, let's say, playing blackjack, where the card's the card, right?
Yes. Blackjack would probably be something I would use more of the remote viewing or intuition skills. And I don't personally, I used to play blackjack a good bit, but compared to dice, it's pretty slow and boring to me.
Okay, but the effect of Inner Vegas, your work, is much broader than going to Vegas to gamble. The going to Vegas to gamble was basically part of your study on how this works, right?
Right. This is the way I studied it, and also now I, when I train people, with the feedback device, because a little money helps people pay attention, and you see results very quickly, every 30, 40 seconds. Which isn't often true when you're trying to manifest things. The reason I'm mainly interested is the energy for energy healing, for manifesting what you'd like in your life, and psychokinesis all seem to be the same energy. And so the dice throwing becomes a way to practice being able to manifest. And we see things like on the second day of the workshop, somebody coming in who's been in chronic pain with polio for 20 years, saying, "I'm pain-free," and we get spontaneous healing of things. We also have folks then be able to go home and manifest what they want in their life much more powerfully and quickly.
Joe, how important is positive thinking to make this work, to make it happen?
Very. But not the fake kind where you stiff upper lip or whistle a happy tune. We work really hard to get people into a genuine state of gratitude, positiveness that is really felt and really meant. And from that genuine state, you have quite a bit of power.
I'm going to tell you our blackjack story with my producer and me that we did several years ago, and see if you can give me the answer. I've mentioned it a couple times on the program before, but nobody could give me the right answer. I think you can. So we're sitting at a blackjack table. There's my producer, Tom, some other guy we don't know in the middle, and then me. And this was a blackjack table I've never seen before, where in addition to playing blackjack, there's a little circle there that you can put a dollar down. And if you get a blackjack, an ace and a face card, and you have a dollar in that little circle, you get to spin this big wheel that's behind the dealer. And whatever it falls on this deal, on this wheel, that's what you get. And it was from $0 up to $1,000, all these little clicks. And so Tom and I are playing, and I've got a little dollar in this little box, and this guy sitting between us doing his thing. And sure enough, I get a blackjack. And so I'm not only did I win the hand, but I'm eligible to spin the wheel. And so I'm looking at Tom, and he's looking at me, and we're saying, "Let's concentrate on the $1,000." And he said, "Okay, let's do that." So we look at the guy in the middle, and they said, "We're going to need a little help here from you, too. So you give us this added boost, and you know what? We'll give you a piece of it." And he went, "Not going to happen. That's all mumbo-jumbo. Not going to happen." So we said, "All right, fine." So they spin this thing, and Tom is concentrating. I'm concentrating, and this guy, could care less. And the wheel's going click, 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 and it gets to one click, Joe, from $1,000. It stops right before it. One click. Tom and I looked at each other, convinced that this guy was the reason it didn't click over. Are we right? I mean, did he do something?
You could be. When we do experiments in remote viewing or in psychokinesis, it seems like if 60% of the people in the group believe, the results will be about 60%.
Mm-hmm.
So even if he didn't actively try to hex you, it would have been more powerful, in my belief, if he had gone along with you and added his energy.
I think so.
More coherent, and it might have been just enough.
Yep, and he may not have tried to hex us on deep down inside, but his subconscious could have done it.
Right, and it also put a ripple in your force because you were then worried about him slightly not joining you.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, this ability to move and manipulate through this kind of energy, what is it? What's causing that? How do we tap into that to make these things move, to flip the dice?
Yes. The what is up for debate. Probably the best bet is quantum physics theory versus Newtonian physics theory. And the PEAR, PEAR Lab, Princeton Anomalous Engineering Research Lab, has many articles on the internet on the theoretical physics background on how this might occur. The how can we is easier to understand because I don't pretend to understand quantum physics. But within the how-to, it's not a canned formula that you can use every single time the same way, but there are certain principles that seem very consistent, like having a very strong heart energy flowing, lots of love flowing, being connected to the earth. A lot of people don't manifest well because they really don't want to be on the planet to begin with. A lot of the nicest people, in fact. And you have to fully embrace being a physical being to affect the physical. So that's there. Then learning, and Monroe meditations, for example, are wonderful at learning how to get out of your left brain, get out of your ego, get into your whole self with a very high energy and learn how to focus it and then let go. Both the let go and the focusing are important. So often we'll see with metal bending, even dice throwing, women might be better right at the beginning because they tend to surrender easier. But men, when they come in, are very precise. They'll roll nine nines in a row if that's their intention. But it takes them a while to get going because often they don't let go as easily.
If somebody goes in and thinks, roll a seven, he could screw everything up, couldn't he?
Well, you know, like attracts like. So when we're out at the table, when we have the good fortune usually to have the table reserved just for our group.
That's smart, because you don't have any outside influences.
That's right. We can have a very coherent energy, and because we're very generous, the crew gets on our side as well. And usually, if that energy is good and powerful enough, and one or two people could come in and try to mess with it, and they won't. But if you're tired or you're, you know, one person against 10 people negative, then it's going to be challenging.
You remind me of the Kevin Spacey movie 21 with a group of people doing what they do. Do the casinos get a little concerned when these mind control people are coming in doing what they do?
Well, it depends on the casino. I started at the Sahara. A lot of the casinos I have gone to have been blown up. But started at the Sahara, and we had three groups, and we were kind of out there. We were all mean and, you know, being pretty.
I mean, is it obvious you're doing what you're doing when you're...
Well, there it was, you know, and after two or three groups, when we were winning, they said, you know, we'd rather you not play.
Really?
We went over to Stardust, and we had maybe 20 groups there, and one person complained, and they pulled the record of that group, and everybody had won every session, and they just said, Joe, we don't think you merit a casino executive host at this point. We don't make enough off of you. But a good house will let it run because we are betting very small amounts of money. They've filmed us, the casino security, etc. And they'll say, Joe, we see a whole bunch of people come into that area of the casino when you're playing. And when you leave, everybody jumps on the table. And so we might lose some on you, but we'll make it from the people around.
This, I thought of you as promotion.
Yeah, a little bit. They like winners to some extent.
That is something. Well, I want to get into the how this works and how people can use not just going to Vegas, of course, but how they can use this in their everyday life in order to accomplish this.
If it was just Vegas, I wouldn't have written the book. I would have kept it quiet and went out to Vegas and did well. But seeing the implications for healing and for people to be able to really create the kind of life that they would like using the same type of techniques and feedback is what inspires my passion of teaching and writing this book.
And I think successful people somehow practice this, don't they?
Yes, a lot of people come to it quite naturally. And, of course, if you had some success, your confidence is up, and you tend to success breeds success.
Our special guest tonight on Coast to Coast, Joseph Gallenberger. We're talking about his work, Inner Vegas, Creating Miracles, Abundance, and Health. And we're going to get right into some of this when we come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. It's fascinating. And tonight we're talking about creating miracles, abundance, health. How do you do that? Well, stick around and find out when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Dr. Joseph Gallenberger with us as we talk about his work, Inner Vegas, Creating Miracles, Abundance, and Health. Uri Geller, who's been on the program before, of course, as the world knows by now, bends spoons with his mind. Some people say he's a magician, Joseph. He was not able to do it when he was on with Johnny Carson many years ago. He freaked out, and it just didn't work. What do you think of him and his work?
Well, I never knew Uri personally. I know some people who did help arrange his venues when he went around in the United States, and they were very impressed. And I do know he went to some major universities with master magicians watching four cameras and was able to also perform under those conditions. The guy was only 17 when he came over, and I think the pressure got a little too much for him, potentially. But I had a lot of doubt about metal bending myself because it's easy that it could be sleight of hand magician type of trick. But somebody I trusted very deeply said, oh, they think it's real and they could do it. And then I had the experience myself, and when you're holding the metal and it softens and warms and becomes like putty, and you've done it yourself, then you become a believer in it. And I'd recommend, you know, everybody, you know, keep an open mind about it, but do it yourself, and you'll make your own conclusion.
Now let's talk about what causes this to happen, and why do some people have the ability and others don't. First of all, what are we dealing with in terms of the pure energy? There's got to be something that would flip the dice or bend the spoon. You know, something has an effect on something physical. What is that?
We don't know. It's not measurable at this point.
You can't feel it. You can't touch it.
Well, you can feel it, and you can feel it as an internal state. You might feel it flowing out of you, but science is not measuring it yet. We are working with the university up at Monroe Institute with the MC Squared program, Manifestation and Creation Squared, and they're trying to develop instruments to measure that energy, and we're beginning to have a little bit of early success with that. But it is a very, if you taste it, if you feel it yourself, you can replicate it, and it's quite tangible, but it's hard to measure, and a lot of things, of course, are hard to measure.
Are you convinced that it is some form of energy that's doing this?
I am. Some folks in the remote viewing crowd might say that I select the reality in which dice are going to roll nine nines in a row. But I think, from my experience, particularly with metal bending and other things, that spoon would never do that on its own. So that it's not just selecting, you know, the right timing, like it might be on dice for that when that's going to happen. But it's something that we are doing.
So the mind, if that's the mechanism that is used here, somehow has an influence on this form of energy.
Yes, and I'm not really convinced the mind has much role except to select and for intention and to decide on the target. They even did an experiment with baby chicks where they took a random number generator driven robot, so it's moving in all directions with no pattern, and they imprinted the baby chicks on that robot. And then they put a glass divider between the robot and the chicks. Well, the chicks all came right to the glass barrier, and the random number generator robot just kept banging into the barrier as if the chicks were calling it over so they could be near their mother. And there's not much mind in a baby chick. So I think it's a natural energy, but it may not. It's more of the heart. It's more of the emotions. And probably more of the spirit than it is the mind.
Okay, when you said you're having some success with some experiments at the university level, what are they doing? Are they picking up some burst of energy or something like that?
Right, they're trying to develop, they take a box, they put various substances such as crystals in the box, create an electric circuit, and then shield the box from vibration, from electromagnetic energy, radio frequency energy, everything they can think of. And then as we imply intention to heal or to bend spoons or to open flowers in a moment or two in your hand, we can see some of the machines are starting to jump in some patterns that would indicate that it is picking up a change in energy in the room.
That is dramatic, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Are other scientists beginning to jump on board, or is it still a tough sell?
Well, it is a tough sell, and it's a strange one because there's years, decades, 100 years of research, and much of it is high quality. Some of it's bunk, but much of it's high quality, and getting statistical readouts that, are one in a... Princeton did one study, 12.5 million trials, and the results were like 1 billion to 1. So the results are much more solid than the kind of results you'd see in drug research or other science. And yet, because we don't have the smoking gun, we don't have the causal chain, there is resistance. One main group that resists, call themselves skeptics, but they're really not. They break the rules of science. Mm-hmm. They violate the core principle of open-mindedness and that the data would speak for itself. And they proclaim that it's all bunk. And they have the ear of the media and the government. When we do objective surveys, about 97% of scientists believe PK and other abilities are possible. There's a real good book, Science and the Psychic Phenomena, The Fall of the House of Skeptics by Chris Carter, who describes in detail the power politics behind the resistance to accepting this as a known, as a scientific fact.
All right, tell us about the hemisync and how does that work?
Well, hemisync is an auditory stimulation system where they put a tone in one ear and one slightly different in the other ear. And what happens is there's a survival system in the brain where if a tiger was in the room and it was totally dark and it growled, you could know where it was by turning your head until those sounds were in equal phase to both ears. And then you could run at least faster than everybody else, so you're okay.
You better at least.
Yeah. So what happens with stereo headphones is the brain cannot turn the head and equalize that sound. And it's a survival system in the brain. So the brain lights up between the difference of these two patterns. So an example of 100 hertz signal and 104, it'll go into four-cycle rhythm. That's the brainwave pattern for sleep. So if you have intention to sleep and the hemisync puts out that pattern of four cycles, you'll be able to go into sleep much more easily, even before you're going to be on coast to coast. And it's... 2 a.m. in my time, so I did get a nap before this.
Right.
Because the hemisync helps you relax. You can use other brain waves to move into states of higher brain wave patterns that are associated with creativity. And in the gamma area, it looks like that's associated with the psychokinesis area and other psychic skills.
Why is it sometimes, Joseph, people are sharp as a tack and other times they're not? What causes that?
In a given individual?
Yeah.
You got natural circadian rhythms during the day. Your mind may be burdened by lots of stress. There can be many reasons to kind of ebb and flow. And I think there is some natural ebb and flow, but the deep valleys probably could be avoided most of the time.
All right. Now, when you were doing what you do in Vegas with the groups of people, prior to that, bringing them in, tell me a little bit about the training.
That they go through?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, people are selected. I talk to everybody individually, and as I know them, they usually have been through meditative systems like the Monroe Institute Gateway. So we know already that they know how to meditate. They know how to get along well with others and be in a very intense type of situation, and that they're psychologically courageous. So we got a lot going for us at that point. I send out a preparation manual explaining the game and some energy exercises we're going to do, just normal information about the schedule and casino and things so people are comfortable. And then when we go out, we spend the whole day not going near the casino, just getting together as a group, learning about each other, meditating, patterning, or visualizing a really successful weekend, beginning to open the heart, and then beginning to practice the game and use some of our special techniques to really bathe the person who's going to hold the dice in energy that's really positive and grounded.
If it doesn't work, What has gone wrong?
A million different things could. Okay. Usually we are a little self-conscious, a little anxious. The example I might give, and this goes back to sympathy for Yuri, sleep is a very natural thing.
Yeah.
And I think PK is a very natural thing. But if you put me on television in front of 20 million people and say, go to sleep in the next 20 minutes, I don't think I could do it.
You couldn't do it.
You know, it's that self-consciousness. And so people are trying a little too hard or a little self-conscious, that will break this. It has to be a very trusting flow of energy.
And natural, very natural. The harder you concentrate, I think the more difficult it becomes.
Yes, the mind's useful in setting intent and learning what you're doing and understanding what you're going to be about. But at some point, you got to let go and let it flow.
It's like the old saying, go with the flow.
And it's the same for manifestation and for healing, I think. It's intention, let go.
Now, at the Monroe Institute, what kind of training programs do you put people through where they stay there?
Well, the Institute has a huge variety of programs. In the MC Squared program, it's a graduate program, so they've already taken their gateway and learned various focus levels or states of consciousness, and we build upon that in the graduate program, MC Squared. We put people into meditative states again, begin to explain about manifestation, what we're going to do. We give a talk about PK that hopefully helps their left brain see that this is possible. We have healing circles where everybody can be in the middle. And then we begin the psychokinesis tasks as a feedback device. We start with dice rolling because it's actually easier than some things because it can sneak up on you. You can start not so well and then get into a good pattern where the spoon is either bent or not bent. So it's a success failure thing. So we do the dice rolling, and then we move into growing seeds, sending energy there for the seeds to grow faster than controls. And then we light light bulbs, which is lots of fun. We take fluorescent lights and light them with our energy without plugging them into the wall.
Does that happen?
Yeah. And then we, after that, everybody's excited, and we move into the spoon bending as a group. And you mentioned, why can some not do or others? With that amount of preparation, most groups, we have 100% success.
That is amazing.
Or very close. Some in the group as we do it as a group, and then some over the next few days privately in their own room or with somebody else around helping them. But by the end of the few days, most people at this point are able to bend metal.
We even have
people bending plastic, which just is brittle. And
if you walked by a craps table in Vegas, and some guy's rolling the dice, can you alter that?
Yes, at times. I believe in staying on the light side. So if I walk by, say, at 3 in the morning, and some poor guy is there really tired and he has a difficult point to make, say a 4, which would come up very seldom statistically, I can think 4 and send love and light and healing to him as I walk by thinking it, and I might hear in the background 4.
And if you don't like him, you can have him roll a 7.
Potentially, but I don't go there.
You don't. So what? Yeah, I was going to say negativity, or let's call it evil for lack of a better word.
Okay.
Does that still work? I mean, could you, if you were that kind of guy, could you do that?
I think things can be done that way, at least short term. But what I want this to be is a very healthy psychological and spiritual practice.
Sure.
And the wide open heart energy is that.
Sure. But my point is, though, that those who are evil could use it for evil purposes, too.
Potentially, I think when, you know, Even without evil, just being in a real negative mood, I think, affects people negatively around you.
Yeah.
And so stupidity and tiredness and negativity, you don't even have to put in a real evil type of intent, and you'll have effect. We do affect each other.
Remember the movie The Cooler with William Macy?
Yes, I do.
Okay. He would be the opposite of what you're talking about, where you're upbeat and positive and everything else, this guy was hired by the casinos to cool off lucky people.
Yes, because his life was going so badly. He was in such a bad mood. And I have met some folks that are very powerful, and they're carrying around a pretty negative attitude, and they do seem to influence things.
I mean, I think there is something to this. There's something that all of us are tapping into, whether it's what I call a wireless internet or some form of energy. There's something out there. It's always been there. And we've probably, as human beings, have always had the ability to tap into it. Just a lot of us just don't know how.
Yes, and there's good proof that that's there. There's something called the Global Consciousness Project. They put random number generators around the world, and they're flipping heads, tails 1,000 times a second, basically picking one zero on it from that atomic action. And when large numbers of people concentrate, like before 9/11, before the planes hit,
that's right.
And the latest
they
one
saw a spike.
There's a big spike. The last one I saw that was really cool was Obama's initial inauguration speech on his first term. Many, many people around the world were watching that, and the random number generators went into order. So human consciousness does order randomness.
Tell me about the sync creation program then that you developed.
Well, after we did the MC squared that I talked a little bit about at Monroe, we really were excited at the results in healing and everything else. And yet it's quite a step on the ladder to go there. You need to go to Virginia, take Gateway, then take this graduate program. So 2 weeks of time.
That's a lot of time for people.
Yeah. So I developed a home study course, the word sync coming from hemisync and then creation, that has much of the content of MC squared, allowing you to learn at home, and designed to be a lifelong support of your learning. So even people who go through MC squared often get sync creation to continue to practice at home. One of the things we emphasize a lot, movies like The Secret do a disservice, in my opinion, because they say, just think positive and it'll be. Well, it might be, but it's not likely if you have a past history that was negative around an issue such as relationship or finances.
Right.
So in MC and in the home study, we give very strong hemisync exercises to really get rid of guilt, feelings of lack, fear, things that are in the way of manifesting, and then good exercises to visualize. So the course has that support and also comes with three individual coaching sessions, because everybody has their own need to fine-tune this to themselves, and they have their own issues that a coach can help them with.
And how do they know that they're accurate, that it's working?
Well, right from the start, I wanted it to be a home study course that didn't end up on the shelf. So right from the start, there are these psychokinesis tasks, and people are excited to go home, do the spoon bending, for example, and see results. And so within that and within manifesting in their life, you know, if you wanted to manifest a soulmate or a new career, it might take a year for that to develop and form and come into being. The psychokinesis skills in the home study course and in MC squared give people immediate feedback whether they're on track or not. And they can sense how to develop that energy, how to focus it, how to let go, and be guided on if there's a problem where it might be within that sequence.
Do you teach people to do some of this in their dream state, Joe?
Not specifically. We encourage people to begin to get guidance and intuition in all directions from other people, from their body, from their emotions, and particularly their dream states. So, for example, there's one particular exercise called the Abundance Tree to let go of lack and guilt that I developed after asking, as I fell asleep one night, to have a dream that night that would heal anything in the way of my own abundance. And this exercise came in complete clarity to me, and then now hundreds or a thousand people have used it and found it very effective.
All right, stay with us, Joe. We're going to come back and talk more with you about this.